You're listening to Dig Out Dirt, a Texas Rangers podcast. It's a baseball podcast about everything that happens outside the chalk lines.
One thing that I really want the fans to know is that the marketing department exists in this organization to try to bring the fans closer to the club.
It's not a job, it's a life.
You know, the best compliments I ever get are when I receive a message or a letter from a blind person who says, I feel like I can see the game.
I've been fortunate to kind of help him put this group together, and there's a lot of special people, and makes coming to work fun every day.
Flood of emotions, relief, excitement, elation. I knew that I carried a trailer of people with me that 90 feet.
After he was finished, I just kind of raised my hand and said, okay, which wall do you want me to run through?
Welcome to Dug Out Dirt. I'm your host, Jared Couch, and today we are talking about food, more specifically, ballpark food. Now, when you think about the experience of attending a baseball game, you might first think about the matchup or your favorite player or who's towing the rubber that evening, but then for most fans, the next topic of conversation is about the food. How many hot dogs can I eat? Is this dollar hot dog night? I might take down 15. Will this be the game I take down the boomstick? Maybe the chumungus? Or do we want to get tickets in the Cholula porch, formerly known as the all-you-can-eat section? And I might take down 5 or 6 plates of nachos, another 10 hot dogs, and a lot of soda. That's what's going through the mind of fans when they come to the ballpark. And over the past few years, the Texas Rangers culinary team has taken ballpark food from hot dogs and peanuts to fried foods worthy of the Texas State Fair. On this episode of Dug Out Dirt, Becky Kimbrough and I will talk with various team members about their favorite foods, if they have one named after them, and if they have an idea of what they would like to be named after them. And we'll visit with two of the finest culinary minds in all of baseball, really all of sports, Sean Maddox, the general manager of Rangers food and beverage operations for Concessionaire Delaware North, and our executive chef, Chris Vasquez, the man who was featured on Chopped, will help us pull back the curtain on how they develop some of these amazing food creations here at Globe Life Park.
What is the inspiration for some of the ideas that you guys come up with, these creative ideas for food?
We spend a lot of time texting ideas, text storming, I call it. But one thing that's really great and unique about my team is if somebody comes up with an idea, we don't say it's crazy. We try it out and see how it's going to work and if it can work, because there's been a lot of items, quite honestly, that we've come up with that we've had to really think outside the box from a packaging standpoint. For example, the boomstick or the Tanaco, we couldn't find a taco shell that was 2 foot long. So we had to buy the equipment and do some R&D on that to figure out how we're going to make a 2 foot long taco shell. So I think a lot of the ideas just come from, us as a group just bantering back and forth. And of course, we follow trends in the food industry, and Chris, Chef Chris, and his culinary team are all the time traveling to other venues and exploring opportunities at restaurants or wherever it might be. So
everything's bigger in Texas, but we're also usually first. Just ask any Texan within 4 feet. In the case of ballpark food, being bigger and first has worked hand in hand.
How long have you guys been doing this?
Well, I mean, we really started digging this in 2009, probably 2008. Yeah. And we really started thinking more out of the box, being more, giving more options to our fans and being more unique. And a lot of people say Texas was we the one who started the whole thing. And after that, I started following us, tried to come up with similar items, but they just can't keep it up.
You take pride in being the best in the business?
Well, definitely.
Yeah, we do, and I think we've got that reputation. I think we were definitely the first to come up with the shareables, and that's what we call the kind of coin the larger items, because, they're designed for multiple people to sit down and enjoy them, although there are those that are, going to tackle it and conquer the large food item, but they're made to share. And honestly, you didn't see that in the industry until after the boomstick. You just didn't see those, ginormous food offerings, but now you're starting to see it more and more and more. And you know, my hat's off to a couple other the teams, especially the Diamondbacks. Those guys are getting creative and yeah. It's a passive compliment that they're doing it, but you know they're getting good at it as well.
Creating unique ballpark food is a creative process. It takes time as well as a little luck in the kitchen. Often, you start off with one idea and you end up with something totally different. And sometimes it's better than anyone imagined.
When you guys go through this process, how do you develop a menu item? And do you write down everything that you do to make sure that you get the recipe just as you're doing it? What is that process like?
It takes a lot. It takes sometimes say several weeks to come up with something. But it's a brainstorm between six or seven of us. Yeah. Somebody come up with a name, somebody come up with one ingredient, all extracted like this. And like Sean said, we just really open mind and we never hurt our feelings and we just as a group we just come up with the item.
If you guys need taste testers, all your friends in marketing department will be down there
no shortage of taste testers, so that's for sure. And we'll have an idea and literally we'll all go into the kitchen and the chefs will start cooking it and they hate it. We'll get behind the line and go, nah, what if we try this or what if we try that? And so many times, you know, an item will come up that's a spinoff of another thing that we're trying, and we'll kind of table it and come back to it another time. But really, it's just we just get in the kitchen and the guys cook it up, and we try it, and we'll either poke fun at it or critique it in a good way, constructive criticism kind of way. But what always ends up happening is usually a really, really, really tasty and fun, innovative idea.
All of this started with a 2-foot hot dog covered in chili, nacho cheese, jalapenos, caramelized onions on top of a massive potato bun, weighing in at 3 pounds.
What was the first? What was the first big idea?
Well, the boomstick clearly was the first, and that was actually came on the heels of us doing what was then, I think, a half-pound hot dog.
Correct, correct.
And we just saw how well it was doing and how well the fans had received it. So that off-season, I forget what year that is now. It's going back.
2012.
Yeah.
Nearly 20,000 boomsticks were sold in 2012, and it was an instant fan favorite.
We just said, how can we just take this to a whole another level? And so we talked about this 2-foot-long hot dog, and of course nobody makes a 2-foot-long hot dog, so we had to find a manufacturer for that. Then was the bun,
bakery.
So we had to find a bakery,
that big,
you know, Chris and his team, and then we're like, well, how do they carry this thing?
Yeah.
So then we had to get with the paper company and design a carry case for a hot dog. But you know, it works out really well because, you know, especially like for couples, they can sit down and it sits across their lap and, you know, it's easy to eat out of. That's kind of how it all got started. And that was the first.
But being first doesn't necessarily mean that you are on top of the ballpark food chain.
So what would you say is your favorite idea? So that's the first one and you've had a few more. What's the favorite?
Man, it'd be hard to narrow down really one favorite food item. I like the Tanako, the Holland Hot Tachos are quickly becoming one of my favorites. They're really, really good. The items at the Just Bacon Stand are doing good. Bacon on the Stick, we started last year. Holy cow.
It went crazy.
That stuff is good.
Yeah.
As we all know, everything tastes better with bacon. I mean, anything. And the culinary geniuses at the ballpark are very bullish on bacon.
Could you list off the bacon items you have?
Oh, goodness, too many. I got bacon sticks, the chicken fried bacon, cotton candy.
It's the quesadilla.
The quesadilla.
Bacon sunflower.
Bacon sunflowers.
Beer.
Yeah.
The candy. Not cotton candy, the other candy.
The candy bacon.
The candy bacon. 7 or 8 of them.
Wow.
Not only are Ranger fans clamoring for these new ballpark offerings, but the Rangers culinary team has taken a page out of the Benihana playbook by turning the making of the Chumungus into a show.
What all goes into Chumungus?
It is same as challah bread, and we thought about it, you know, do like a Korean beef. It's like more like if you eat it like stir fry. So that was the whole ingredients, and we did the sriracha, mayonnaise on top of that, peppers and onions. So it's like a teriyaki beef sandwich. It's really, really good, 24 inches too, and it became one of the favorites now too.
My mouth is watering.
And the people, the beauty about that is see the whole paper sizzling on the big Mongolian grill. We had the 24-inch standing, which people a lot of times, they just go take a picture and they like to see the whole concept. It's really unique.
Yeah, that that stand really has in my opinion, become a destination point in the ballpark. It's almost a meeting space, if you will, for pregame. Let's meet at the 24, Concept 24 stand. And, man, I just wish we could get paid for everybody that takes a picture of it. So, you know, we joke because we've come up with a lot of neat items. And, you know, traditionally somebody will buy something, if it's a hot dog or what it might be, and then they head to the condiment cart to, you know, to dress their food with the condiments. With items out of the 24 stand, the first thing they do is pull out their cell phone and start taking pictures of themselves with the food bigger, item.
And, yeah.
And then, you know, that's where we derive a lot of pleasure from, is just seeing fans really enjoy and have and make it such a part of the experience here at the ballpark.
Fans are familiar with scouts, but that isn't limited to baseball scouts. You must also scout the food at other ballparks.
So you guys travel around MLB and see what other teams are doing?
Yeah, I think it was 3 years ago when we started really getting into development. I actually traveled. I think I hit like 6 ballparks in 7 days, and a lot of that was just checking out, you know, the food and seeing what, you know, what the offerings are out there, what people are doing. And additionally, then it was looking at, you know, kitchen. How do you deliver the product? It's one thing if you come up with a great idea. You've got to be able to deliver it in a manner that, you know, can serve the amount of people that we serve on a game basis. And honestly, you know, we're having challenges with the state fair stand. That's become so popular. We're either going to need to expand it or look at real hard at the menu items in there, because, you know, we don't want to have these great food items but not be able to deliver on the service aspect of it. So it doesn't just end with coming up with this, you know, creative, innovative idea. We got to be able to make sure that we can deliver on it as well.
Yeah, the thing is, we always like, you know, offer to our fans the best product, you know, fresh and great quality. And every time we design something, I want to be sure we got the proper equipment to do and execute it. And based on all the ballpark, a lot of times there was this new concept, but everything comes from the main warehouse or the main kitchen. And by the time you cook it and deliver it, the food is already bad. And here in the ballpark, we try to do everything fresh right there on the spot. Then that's what a lot of ballparks are seeing, and then we go through that process. And it works great for us, and we give better food to our fans.
Outside of the foods that we would consider our superstars, the media darlings that get all the attention, there's a real gem, what you would call maybe a role player at Globe Life Park, and it's really flying under the radar right now.
I got to tell you, one of the best menu items in the whole ballpark is in the Captain Morgan. It's a fried chicken sandwich with fried cheese sticks. With queso on top of it.
How have I never tried this?
It's the best freaking sandwich in the ballpark.
That sounds amazing.
And it flies under the radar, but holy cow, it's really, really good.
Really good, yeah.
I don't know how many calories is in that thing, but it's really, really good.
Another area that may be flying under the radar is the all-you-can-eat seats. Now, this off-season, there were major renovations to what was known as the all-you-can-eat seats and now known as the Cholula Porch. And now it is a premier destination, very elegant space for fans looking for a buffet of ballpark food.
So I guess another one is the all-you-can-eat seats, which is now the Cholula Porch.
Yeah.
What's the difference in that this year?
Well, you know, originally that was a Friday's Front Row space, and it was designed for an a la carte menu and designed to be like a Friday's restaurant. So it had some different tiers and different levels. And over the years that, you know, that concept was struggling. So we decided to do an all-inclusive area, all-you-can-eat seats in that upper home room porch. And quickly became a fan favorite. However, you know, fulfillment for that menu items in that area, you know, was a little bit of a challenge. So this off season, we spent some time remodeling that space, and basically what we were able to do is just tear out, basically start it over. We just completely gutted the space. It's all one level, one big open space, huge, wonderful kitchen in there for the culinary staff, and nice permanent buffets for the fan experience. Plus, we've supplemented it with a full-service bar and some carts. It's a really, really nice space. It turned out really good. Couldn't be any happier with how it turned out. And now, you know, it's a multi-purpose space. You know, we can do catering in the off season or, you know, on off weeks. We can use it for training. We can use it for media events. I mean, it just turned out really, really nice. I think fans that have been here before in the all-you-can-eat section and come back, and I've seen this already. People step off the elevator or come up the stairs there. You can just see it in their face. They're like, they're just blown away how well this space turned out. And I got to tell you, walking through the all-you-can-eat space before and after the remodel is always a treat for me. It's one of those spaces you go, and you, without fail, I'll always be in earshot of somebody going, this is just awesome. This is just the coolest thing. You know, and it's just, you know, the hot dogs, those nachos and sodas, they're just such part of the ballpark experience. And to have that included in your ticket, and people just, I mean, they just really, really enjoy it. So yeah, it's one of those great spaces that I don't think is a well-kept secret, but I think as more and more people go up there and experience that, especially after the remodel, it's just going to continue to grow in business and do really well.
Before the 2015 foods were revealed, I interviewed Derek Holland, and we talked about his favorite ballpark foods, and then he voiced his opinion on not having an official food.
So, ballpark food. You probably haven't ever had any ballpark food.
Yes, I have.
You have? What have you had?
Not from here, no. This is back when I used to go to games.
What's your favorite ballpark food?
I mean, you can't go wrong with, am I allowed to say beer and a hot dog?
Yeah.
I am over 21. I may not look it, but I am. I may not always, no. I would say for me, the best food, I mean, God, you gotta have a cold one. Definitely gotta have, I'd say probably either the nachos, little chili cheese nachos, and make a mess. I mean, that's the best part is whatever you eat, you gotta make a mess. It shows how good the food was. Now that's just me. I'm a sloppy person when it comes to eating. That's just the way it is. So I'd either get a hot dog, so much ketchup on it, and then maybe some nachos with the chilies on it and everything. Ooh, God, sounds good right now. I can eat it.
So, you know, Cruz had the boomstick named after him. Chew had Chewmongous. Ross had Rossum Nachos. What food? Do they have a food for Derek?
No, they ain't got nothing for me.
So what?
I just got a bobblehead finally this year.
You got a gnome.
I got a gnome.
What would be your food?
Man, my food, it'd have to be, even though this is crazy, it'd be something Italian somehow. So let's get spaghetti on a stick. Something ridiculous. It doesn't make sense, but hey, do something crazy. Like I would do something, if it's me, I want it Italian. I want anything Italian or Mexican. Those are two good foods right there.
So the Holland enchiladas.
Believe it. Sounds like a winner right there. The Dutch chiladas.
After hearing a similar take from Derek Holland on 105.3 The Fan with Ben and Skin, Sean Maddox and Chef Chris wasted no time and went back to the drawing board to create a special dish for the Dutch oven.
We've never really forced any of this. And, you know, honestly, we just, something hadn't come up. And I remember it. I was sitting at lunch, and I kept getting text messages and calls and go, are you listening to the radio? They're interviewing Holland on the radio, and they're talking about the fact he didn't have a food name after him. And I'm like, no, I'm not. You know. And so, you know, I left the restaurant and, you know, went to my car and tried to find it on the radio station. And, you know, we just listened to some tidbits of that, and there was actually fans calling in and saying, oh, how about this or how about that? And then based off of that, we were able to say, oh, you know what, that might make sense, or this might work. And so that's how that happened.
Well before supersized food offerings were in vogue at the ballpark, our multi-talented voice of the ballpark, Chuck Morgan, made a food contribution of his own.
Well, you know, I'd gone to Seattle and Oakland on a trip way back about 14 years ago, And I was lucky enough to be in those ballparks when they opened the gates or turned on the fryers about 4 o'clock, and the thing that I smelled were garlic fries. And man, I came back to Texas and said, we got to get garlic fries. So to me, there's nothing like a good old hot dog and some garlic fries and a cold beverage to get you going.
Rangers pitching coach Mike Maddox is what you would call a connoisseur of new ballpark foods. Either that or he's a food exhibitionist.
You know, they show those things on the big screen, and you know, you talked about them, and they got the Wiener Mobile, the Boomstick Mobile. So we asked the chef one time, we said, we got to have one in Boomsticks. Man, that was pretty darn good. We had the Beltray burger. That was good. I mean, number one, the Boomstick, it's enough to feed a small army. And the Beltray burger looked like a manhole cover. I mean, they're big. They feed a lot of people, but very, very tasty. And the ballpark food, I think, is pretty darn good.
What would be the Mike Maddox food of choice? For what would you, what food?
If they're going to name a food after me? Or a...
Yeah, if they were going to name a food after you, what would it be?
Well, it'd have to be some type of fish taco, I would have to think. We can come up with some type of fish taco.
Why fish taco?
They're pretty darn good. I mean, I like fish tacos, or maybe we got some type of sushi that we could have up there, but anything that's got salsa, anything that's hot, anything spicy. The spicy fish taco or the too hot to eat tuna, that could be good.
Elvis Andrews has been with the Rangers for a while, so you would think he would have his own food, but he doesn't. He's a fan favorite, but he's still on the outside looking in when it comes to a personalized food offering.
Have you had a chance to try any of the crazy ballpark food that they make?
Yeah, they made me try a couple years ago when they have the Boomstick. And there's something like a burger they did for Adrian. I don't remember the name, but yeah, that's what a few ones that I try. And even when we have like delay, when it's raining, you know, we always have some nachos and you know, some hot dogs from the stands out there.
What's your favorite?
I like the nachos. Yeah. Nachos are pretty good. And the cheeseburger, they're money. Boomstick's too big, man. It's like, that's for Prince. Prince will love that Boomstick.
They don't have a food for you, do they?
No, they should get something. I don't know.
What should they get?
I don't know. I mean, they always use my name, you know, related with Elvis Presley. So they should get something around that.
What about like Elvis Presley used to like peanut butter and jelly?
Peanut butter and banana.
Also,
they should, you know, do that and associate.
Elvis's buddy, Adrian Beltre, is a pretty straightforward guy. So the Beltre Buster Burger fits him perfectly.
You have a Beltre Buster, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Did you have any input on that?
Kind of.
Well, so what was that process like?
I mean, it was simple. They told me what they're gonna do. They asked me what I like, and I told them, and I kind of did it. I mean, it's simple. It's burger. So,
is burger your favorite food?
I mean, it's not my favorite. It was, you know, who doesn't like burgers?
Awesome.
In 2008, Rangers slugger Prince Fielder gave up meat. Well, it looks like he's back to enjoying a prime cut steak, like the rest of us carnivores.
I don't think you have a food named after you. What would it be?
I don't know. I don't know.
What's your favorite food?
I like steaks.
So the Prince steak?
Boom.
A prime cut
Prince
steak?
Prime cut Prince steak.
All right.
Hear me out. What do you think about a wine and cheese section at Globe Life Park? Kobe Lewis is in favor of some Kobe cheese. See what he did there?
What would be your ballpark food of choice to be named after you?
I guess it would have to be something with cheese or something because it's Kobe cheese, you know? So I have no idea. It would have to be something along those lines of cheese dog or something. I have no idea. Cheese hamburger, I don't know. I like spicy foods too, so I don't know. It would have to be something along the lines with something like that.
So until we get the Kobe cheese in effect or the fish tacos or the peanut butter and banana sandwiches, you're going to have to settle for the new offerings in 2015. Be sure to drop by the Just Bacon section. You can get maple bacon beer, bacon salted coated, sunflower seeds, bacon cotton candy, bacon quesadillas. And if you can't get enough bacon there, hop on over to the State Fair section and try the deep fried bacon on a stick. And then you can also look into the chicken fried corn on the cob, fried brisket mac and cheese balls, and funnel cake, and much, much more. And I'm sure Derek Holland would be honored to see you scarfing down the Holland tachos. Whether you go with a new offering or one of the classics, there's something at the ballpark to appease your appetite. Before we get out of here, I'd like to thank everyone who's been a part of this episode of Dugout Dirt. A special shout out to Sean Maddox and Chef Chris for stopping by and sharing their story and what they do with us. Also, a special thanks to Becky Kimbrough, Sarah Stone, Anissa Pruitt, and everyone else at the Texas Rangers that make this podcast possible. For more original Texas Rangers content, please visit texasrangers.com/neverevercquit. And this podcast can be found on iTunes or texasrangers.com/podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, my name is Jared Couch, and we'll see you on the next episode of Dugout Dirt.